Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Long 2 days, first 2 days of the NFL draft. And yeah, I think there's a lot of takeaways from day two. I think one of the takeaways is going to be don't get baited into doing something suboptimal. I really think that's first and foremost, really, in this class. And when I look down at it, you know, you've got a number of guys here who it really doesn't do it for me on day two. And we talk a lot about hit rates on day two. We talk a lot about, profiles that we're looking for. And a lot of it's just avoiding them, right? Just don't step in shit. And if you can do that, you're just going to be in a better situation, right? And that's really what I think is the big thing with this class. Collecting day two pedigree at wide receiver will be nauseating. And this is a good example of a class not to do it in. And so that's really the thing with me. I would say probably first and foremost, too, you just look at who fell: Tylan Wallace, Seth Williams, two guys that had some Devy appeal, had some proponents in the market. I was not big on either of them from a tape perspective, but I sort of recognized that both could go high. Both could potentially be day two guys, and ultimately were not. So yeah, I mean, that's really the big thing with it, is just don't get stuck in doing stuff that's suboptimal. You know, Dwayne Eskridge, not it, right? Dwayne Eskridge, not going to be someone we're really going to be on, for example. Anthony Schwartz is, interesting from a profile perspective, but again, how does he hit? How does he, make a big impact? It's just going to be an avoid situation. It just is going to be. Nico Collins, there's some interesting stuff there. Mid round three or so, going to Houston, it's kind of an open situation, but, behind Brandon Cooks, there's not a lot. There's not a ton there. Again, it's probably not going to be a situation I'm going to be overly invested in. Amari Rodgers is probably the most interesting one. Deami Brown, there's other people that like him more than me. And these guys basically, it's like a 20. It's like a 28% base rate when you use their breakout age. He's going to be buried as a third guy behind a guy in a rookie deal and a guy that just signed a multi-year deal with Washington. And yeah, he's going to be the guy that gets he's going to contribute like four picks to Fitzpatrick this year. Like, that's going to be kind of his role. I saw that repeatedly over and over again on tape, that he was just constantly putting his quarterback in a terrible spot. Josh Palmer is a pretty terrible metric prospect as well. So as we just went through there, there's basically a guy. Right? There's basically one guy for me that I think's interesting, and it's Amari Rodgers. And just from a can do different things in a, the fact that they pick him after seeing Ty Montgomery and seeing, Randall Cobb, all that's, that sort of fits that profile to a large degree. So, some movability, usage and sort of, and motion slot, get open in that type of range. That's the type of player that he is. So he's one that's interesting. Again, we're avoiding, again, you just keep walking. I'm working my way backwards. Terrace Marshall's the huge faller. He goes to Carolina. Next year that could open up, right? That could open up with Robbie Anderson potentially being on the move. But then again, I wouldn't just make that a foregone conclusion. He has a connection with the coaching staff. Coaching staff has shown a proclivity to want to bring back Temple guys And that's Robbie Anderson played for Matt Rhule in college. And so just to write him off, I think that's pretty dangerous. There's probably a reason that he fell, because there's no other reason that he deserved to go 59 overall behind Dwayne Eskridge, Tutu Atwell, and some of the other guys in this class. So I think we have to take a cautionary situation there. You know, one of the things we do look at when we look at in round, the order is probably overblown. We sort of look at him as a round two guy. I think the medical concern is probably the biggest thing with him there. So, so seeing where he sort of falls in drafts, I haven't stacked a board yet. I was working on that tonight. I am not going to release it until tomorrow. I need to step away from it for a night, sort of go back through it. But there's not going to be much wide receiver interest up in, the top three, the top two rounds from day two. I can just tell you that. And the one thing too, I'm not going to stack and tell you that, there's the top 24 guys you should draft in second round. Now you got to get out of there, right? Or, I'll see exactly how it stacks, but, I do think there's going to be kind of a dead zone in this board. And the way I'm going to advocate it, you're not going to be drafting many of these guys. We'll see how sort of Rondale Moore fits in there. Elijah Moore. Those are two bailout situations. Those are two really good, really good opportunities. I like the Rondale Moore opportunity more than I think than other people in the market do. So that would be one thing I would say, from the threshold jump is that I like the Elijah Moore thing. I think that's pretty interesting too. The only sort of caveat to that is that's a maybe not necessarily a established room, but that's a crowded receiver room. You've got Jameson Crowder, you got Denzel Mims, you got Elijah Moore, you got Corey Davis, you got a rookie quarterback. All of a sudden, right, how do you sort of wiggle all those into enough targets to really, to make a difference for Elijah Moore? So while I like the player, I like the profile, I like the pedigree, that's a caution that I would have. Is he more of just a contributing slot guy, or is he a something more than that? Is he Brandon Cooks, or is he, a different version of Jameson Crowder? That'll be something we need to watch for and sort of see how that unfolds. So that's really the thing with the board again. So I have to go through it, but I think priority guys on day two, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, and this is specifically at wide receiver, Terrace Marshall's down there as well. And then really from day two, it's probably Amari Rodgers. I can get some of the interest in maybe a guy like Nico Collins. I can go look back at my notes and some stuff on him, and then Deami Brown as well. Outside of that, I'm probably going to be pretty limited in my interest at the wide receiver position. The quarterback position, similarly, it's going to be, I think you got to be careful. So if it's going to be like a round three pick, I can sort of get interested in some of these guys. You could get interested in a Kyle Trask. It's more of a developmental track. Kellen Mond. I could go both ways on Kellen Mond. I have seen people that I have trusted, that I trust on these things, advocate essentially that, hey, listen, if you're going to go to Texas A&M, you're going to be playing teams that are a lot better than you with players that are inferior to the competition. And so you have to look at it a little bit different way. It's one of the big reasons why Dak Prescott got missed. That's just the advocacy case for Mond. And I can appreciate that. The production stuff isn't good. Just being frank, it's not good. I think there's some of that is, being a little bit overwhelmed by, his supporting cast being overwhelmed. I can sort of get that. Some things that I could sort of go back to and point to. No pressure grade well above average. His passing grade for PFF, well above average. Is there some problem with some accuracy? Yes. Inconsistent with anticipation and timing over the middle of the field? Sure. Arm strength not going to wow anyone? Okay. But when you sort of look at the stuff that you could say, hey, like, let's just squint. Just turn our heads, squint. You know, maybe we had a drink or two. Like, is that kind of look a little bit like the Dak Prescott profile? One of the most experienced quarterbacks in the class. Yes. Has improved pocket presence over his career. Yes. Some pro style concepts. Maybe not necessarily that. Ability to plan the move. Yes. So I know that there's some, like, hey, he's stiff aspects to the tape crowd. I get that. Did well in sort of avoiding turnover worthy plays. Right? All of those things, I think are interesting in terms of all of that, as a profile for him. So I think he's the type of player that can put some, two way ability together. I think we have to be interested at some cost to, a developmental guy. And there's going to be a spot where, if you're playing 20 men, one quarterback, no. But if you're playing, 35 man, two quarterback, or, 28 superflex or whatever, taking a shot on a guy in this range, round three, round four, rookie drafts, I think it's warranted, especially this year. I don't like the class. The class isn't good. We got to get out of – you're trying to avoid taking bad profiles. So there's a lot of them this year. There's just not a ton of bets that I really like to make. And so you can either move up, you can move back. Collect future assets, collect veterans. I'm all for that this year. And then if you're sort of going to bail and – say, hey, listen, I'm gonna trade back and find myself in the later third or something like that. And you're sort of picking between quarterbacks or day three receivers or, late day three running backs, day three tight ends. Like, all right, let's take a shot on Mond. I think that's going to kind of be what my advice would be. I'll have another update to the board. I'll have a board out at some point on Saturday. And then I'll add to it Saturday night when we get the rest of the picks in. That's really my position on Mond and the quarterbacks. I can see some interest in Trask as a developmental guy. He's played basically two starting years as a quarterback in his entire life. It's just an incredible story. He's going to come in largely a good situation and, get the opportunity to learn from a good coach and a good leader there. It's interesting. It's certainly an interesting developmental prospect. I did see that Robert Griffin III was trashing Kirk Cousins today, which is pretty humorous. So might have my own particular show on that one at some point in the near future. That's really the quarterback position. I'm not going to be super interested in a guy like Davis Mills. I know that there's some, hey, he could be a week one starter. Like, yeah, I guess. He has very limited production. I'm not going to get, it's interesting from a developmental perspective. But is he going to be someone that we're going to, be really aggressive in like round two of rookie draft? Like, no, we're not doing that. If it's late round three, round four, okay, you could twist my arm in a class like this to go that route. The tight end position, again, we have to sort this out. Hunter Long goes round three, so that's interesting. Tommy Tremble goes round three. That's interesting as well. Trey McKitty, it's more of a developmental guy, goes on day three. He's going to be buried behind Jared Cook here, hopefully. So that's interesting. You get Freiermuth and on firmly in round two. So that's a step up from round three. So that is of note. He's going to be in probably this later, the mid to later second for tight end premium leagues in this class. Again, what do you do? Do you take a suboptimal wide receiver or just collect the pedigree at tight end? And that's pretty much my play. Again, it's kind of the Cole Kmet type play to the position. Did a lot of Cole Kmet last year. Could see myself having Freiermuth at like the 2-3 turn. You know, just as I sort of look here and glance as I'm sort of putting my board together. The running back position, super interesting. I can paint a scenario where Trey Sermon's running back 4. I could paint a scenario where Travis Etienne on certain boards, on certain drafts, is running back 4. I think there's going to be I think that's going to be a rare outcome, but I can see the argument, and maybe it's not necessarily May 1st. Maybe it's June 1st or May 15th, but I can see Sermon really rising. I was watching some of the stuff from the 49ers. I think this is the most interesting high leverage spot in the entire rookie board is Trey Sermon. And, you know, they basically were discussing, hey, you know, is he the perfect tester? No, but, you know, what we really evaluate for is that first 10. And he's excellent at the first 10. And we really want guys that can start at running back. They're just sort of bit contributors, but we want guys in our running back room that have the skill set of starters, and then we'll sort of go from there. So like that's an interesting concept that they're not just going, hey, this guy's a receiving threat, this guy's the interior grinder, right? All of them, they want to be able to do everything. So that's something I think is pretty notable and interesting there with Sermon. You take a guy on day 2 and, that should speak to us, right? That should speak to us. That's basically a coin flip to hit. There's some lesser densities than round 2, for example. But are we going to be concerned about Jeff Wilson? Are we going to be concerned about Gallman? Are we going to be concerned about Mostert? Mostert's the one I'm most afraid of. But he hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy either. And this could be one of those situations where, I don't know. As I sort of look at it, it's not necessarily a Kamara type situation, because I don't think Sermon's the same player as Kamara, but it's a Kamara type situation with a little bit lesser talent. I do think, a lesser overt talent. I think Sermon's very talented. He's not the physical tools that Kamara has. So I think that he's going to be a really interesting one. I'm fine being aggressive on him going up to like 6 in a startup draft or in a start 1 rookie draft and taking him. I think I would do that over any wide receiver outside of Chase. And I would do that, I would do the same thing and I'd get to 11 and make him a tier, probably is where I think I'm ultimately going to come down on that. I think being aggressive on him at his cost is the leverage play in this draft. So figuring out ways to get to that is really where I think it's got to be. It's where I think the strategy is going to lie this year. So that's pretty much, that'll pretty much do it for, I guess, the overview. The other thing too, so Denver takes Javonte Williams, and I did look up, they could save $2.5 million. He's on Melvin Gordon this year. Gordon's got a cap number north of $8 million. I don't necessarily see how they're going to totally get out of that, but are they going to take a $6 million dead cap hit, or are they just going to, pay him to kind of deal with it and you basically eat the rest of the contract and sort of go from there? I guess that's kind of a question we're going to have to see going forward, and I think that's a watchworthy thing. All that to say, I don't think that there's much to threaten Javonte Williams there going into 2022, late 2021. This is a really interesting situation. I can see that the market reacting in multitude of ways. That, oh, he's kind of buried, or, oh, he's going to take over right away. Oh, it's a better situation than Etienne. I think that's stuff all to watch for. I do think there's fluidity in that tier. I don't think Sermon maybe cracks that tier with consistency, with regularity. And I've seen him firmly second round of Superflex drafts. Like, that's the wrong bet to make, in my opinion. I think I typically think that rookie classes are defined by the running backs on day two. And, there's only a couple of them, but I think that they're both interesting ones. You know, there's just not the depth there. That's why the second round is going to be rough. I do think that both of them, I'd much rather be aggressive at running back than be non-aggressive and leave that loading up on wide receivers, right? Because one of them's asymmetric and the other one's not. And that's really my sort of position on these things. So I do think to be, I'm not going to sell the farm to go take Javonte Williams at 104 or something like that. But I do think, getting yourself in a position to be comfortable taking them. Javonte Williams is probably going to be at the end of that top 10 or so tier of Superflex with the five quarterbacks, tight end, Pitts, Chase, and then the running back there with Etienne and Harris, right? Sort of in that tier. He'll fall at the end of it, and I think that's warranted over Waddle, over Smith, over Bateman. Even though I like the Bateman profile, I question the upside of it ultimately. Just if Williams hits, he's going to probably make a bigger impact than anyone else at the other position. We do, when we put the positions up there, we take running backs from around later and put them with wide receivers around earlier. That's sort of where you get your matching. So he sort of fits right in there with that group. So I can see an argument going the other way there. I will probably have Javonte Williams ahead of any receiver not named Ja'Marr Chase. And then you get to a point where, Trey Sermon, I think, isn't far from that. So, again, it's a little bit different of a bet. I think it's less clear to me that he's sort of on an arc. I think most logical decision-making would say that he's, they drafted him to potentially have him start. I trusting the Shanahans to do anything totally rational at running back is can be an expensive losing proposition. So I want to see a little bit more, see if we can get some more information. But I do think that one's an aggressive situation. Again, if it's the decision between taking a day two running back, round three running back, who has, prototypical size, maybe was a little unproductive, but is going to what appears to be a really high upside situation, or taking a wide receiver who doesn't have a great profile, like, give me the running back. We'll do that and we'll figure it out from there. That's kind of my take on it. And then, if you're not going to do that, I just trade down, right? I mean, I think when you look at this board, I think Rondale Moore couldn't have gone to a better situation. He might be buried a little bit in terms of this year, but you sort of look forward, Fitzgerald's probably gone. AJ Green's on a 1-year deal. Kirk Cousins going to be free. Christian Kirk's going to be a free agent. There's some signs of decline out of DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not writing an obituary for him by any means, but they ran the second most wide receiver routes per dropback last year with a average of 3. So there's plenty of opportunity there for him, and you could see him come in and take Christian Kirk's job. You could come in and see, maybe Christian Kirk's a cap casualty. Maybe Christian Kirk's a trade candidate late in the process. It really changes the narrative on him. What if AJ Green's not the guy and Larry Fitzgerald retires, and all of a sudden you've got Rondale Moore on one side, you've got, at one spot, you've got Hopkins at another, you've got really no tight end presence to truly speak of, and you sort of, playing an Andy Isabella role on the other side, something like that. You're like, hey, wait, this situation where he was all of a sudden buried looks actually really good. You know, so that would be, I do think there's stuff that could really break his way in that situation. Kingsbury is creative in terms of using players like that. You know, he hasn't gotten much out of Andy Isabella, but I do think Rondell Moore is like significantly better profile. So, I'll go through this. I'm going to sort out the board. I'll probably have a little written stuff for the site. There's a couple charts I'll include in the in some way, shape, or form. I'll have a podcast update probably tomorrow night. And maybe I'll do that as like an advanced Dynasty Daily. We'll have to see sort of how the day breaks. I do want to be able to react to the draft and all that as well. So, but I'll have more content, have you covered over the weekend, and then I have startup drafts going. Rookie draft position should be populating, so go ahead, check it out. I did send an email out to subscribers with basically the information about it. So if you have questions, let me know. But it's up there. It's the same page as a startup draft. There's just a toggle, like a drop-down menu that says startup. You can change it to rookie, and then you can filter. So you can use one quarterback, one quarterback super flex, different tight end settings. You can use all of that. And, there's some pre-draft stuff, and then there's going to be some post-draft stuff. If you're looking for just post-draft stuff, it hasn't begun to populate yet. We should look in the next couple of days here to really get that cranking, but just sort it for, May 1st and beyond. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.